Tonight, we're going to have a testimony time. Those of you who are in fellowship here attend on Wednesday, Sunday nights. You know how we normally do this and open it up for different brothers to share for a few minutes of Scripture and what God is doing in their lives or something about that Scripture, how it's impacting them. We have a couple of young men here tonight, and one of them, I've asked him if he would come and share a little longer testimony. These two brothers, Benson Perry, who's going to come, and Garrick Higgs, I've known them both for a number of years when I've been able to go down and visit and preach at Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. But this time, when Kim and I went in January, we met a new Benson Perry and a new Garrick Higgs. They both had gotten saved since the last time we had been there, and their lives had truly been changed. So Benson knew that he was going to be sharing his testimony tonight, and last Sunday morning, as we were getting ready to come to the meeting, Joseph was singing a song, and Benson made the comment, "I wish Joseph could sing that song before I give my testimony." So Joseph's going to come up. We've asked him if he would sing the song, and then when he finishes, we'll ask Benson to come up and share his testimony with us.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here and do this. I thought many times if I've done this, I wouldn't be nervous, but I'm really, really nervous tonight. So I ask for your prayers as I share my testimony. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I am nothing without you, totally depending on you and your Holy Spirit. You'll move in a mighty way tonight. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for life and everything that you have given us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Could you turn your Bibles to Job 14, verse 7. My name has already been said, Benson Parry. I am from the Bahamas, born and raised. Some of y'all might know my grandfather. His name is Frank Parry. He's an evangelist. He's been up this way quite a few times in his life. And I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian family, Christian mother, Christian father, grandparents. And going to church was pretty much my basic life as a child. And I used to go so much to literally, it used to make me sick. I didn't want to go. I used to really. But anyway, you know what I mean. As a kid. let me read these verses. For there is oak for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. And that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stumps may die in the ground, yet at the very scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Like I said, I had the privilege and the grace and the mercy of being raised in a Christian family. And as I give this, I don't want you all to look at me. I am only a sinner saved by grace. I don't deserve even this. And I want you to keep your focus on God and Jesus and not on me. Because he alone needs the praise of this. And as a young kid, I never was that bad or mischievous or anything like that. But as I got towards my teens, I was a child that was never very liked or very shy, always got picked on, always got bullied. Used to get teased a lot. And I was never in the in crowd, so to speak. And I wanted to be liked and I wanted to be in the in crowd. And so I started doing things like my other people around me was doing, was like drugs and stuff like that. And at a very young age, I started doing drugs and started drinking occasionally. And that carried on over and over the years, many years in my life. And I thought I could handle it, you know. I thought I could control this in my life. You know, through the years, I just found out that I was wrong. Because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And that day of reckoning will come. And even in my wickedness, God blessed me. He blessed me with a great job. He blessed me with a family. Anything that a young man could ever want, God blessed me with. But God was never evident or ever present or anything to do with my life. And that lifestyle just continued on, and things just started to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, as I continued on like that, 2008 is when my world started to fall apart. When I thought I could always hold all this in my hands, that I could handle all this myself. And one by one, I started losing the most very possessions that I loved. My family, my home, my job, so on and so forth. Sin carried me so deep and carried me places that I never thought or even dreamed until I was ill. Looking back on it now. And it was just total anger and total rage, and I was blaming God for most of it, looking at other things and other people and blaming other people for my life instead of looking at my own self. And the anger and the rage and the bitterness just kept building up. I didn't think ever in my life that I would even think about attempting suicide. But I got that low in life to where I did try. I got that low to where I did and thought of it many times. I know people don't like to talk about these things, but people deal with these things. And it is good to talk about it. And I wanted a way out, and I thought that was a way out. I saw a lot of my friends that did commit suicide, that did pass away from living that same lifestyle. And the more I kept doing that, living that life, I started hanging with some friends that were atheists, and I started believing in the atheist way. And I started really leaning on that and thinking that there was nothing about no God and all this, what was happening in my life, you know, and it was just totally, I blocked God out. And I know, forgive me, I'm having a tough time here. You know what? Just what he played. May 13th, 2013. I woke up in the back seat of a car in front of someone's house, in the car I don't even know. Like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up in the first part of Romans 6:23, penetrating my chest, for the wages of sin is death. I didn't even know where it was found. I didn't even know the other part of that verse, but it just continually penetrating my chest. And through that day, I just thought I could block it out or push it away, but I thought I was going to be able to sleep it off, but I couldn't. And I fought it until like 4 o'clock that afternoon. And I just got down in my apartment alone, because I knew the way, what I was been taught in the past. And I just gave it all to Jesus. I gave it all. I accepted him as my personal Savior. And I'll tell you, from that day until now, I have never regretted one second, one moment. I mean, just look at this. I would have never dreamed in my wildest dreams that God would bring me up here to Greensboro, North Carolina, giving my testimony, the relationships that I've built, you know, up here and around here, and the love that you all show, and what I've seen, I mean, it's all of God. It's just love was played. Just give me Jesus. That's all. That's all. That's all. This world, you could search this world over, and you will never find permanent peace. You will never find peace only in Jesus. And just going back to that verse, the verses I read off, even the scent of water. And I used to grow a lot of stuff. I used to like doing that. And we used to have times of drought. And some things would look dead, but I'd leave it there because I knew the rain was coming. And when that rain would come, it would bring forth a bud or a sprout, just like what it's saying here. So if the very scent of water could do that to a dead tree, what do you think? No, not what you think. It is the truth of what Jesus' precious blood could do in an individual's life. Praise him, because there is no other name but the name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Benson. Appreciate that. He loves to share what the Lord Jesus has done in his life, and we're very thankful that the Lord brought him here. And I remember sitting on the front porch of the apartment at the chapel down there. Benson and I got to spend a good amount of time talking, and I told him, if you come to North Carolina, we'll get you to share your testimony somewhere. So, hey, he came. We got it. Praise the Lord. So that's good. Thank you. We're going to open it up, and we gave Benson a little extra time, but we're not going to rebuke you if you take extra. But we try to get as many guys as we can in to share. Nick Murphy's got a mic, and he'll bring it to you, and maybe shoot for 5 minutes or less. You can go 5 seconds or whatever. Yes. Okay. Just talk real loud. I'm just kidding. We're going to get it here in a minute. Well, anybody want to be ready to go? Who wants to get us started here? Okay, Ron McKay down here at the front. We got a plan B. Talk real loud.
Is it going to work?
Yeah, we go. Perfect.
The other day at work, I was had one of the girls had come into work, and I could tell she was a little emotional, and I was just seeing what was wrong. And I knew her; they're both in their 30s. Her husband has a lot of health problems. In fact, he's just 31, and she never knows when she's going to be in the emergency room or anything, and our doctor's office. And she said, on the way to work this morning.
Thank you, David. Is it working now, or should Ron just start talking? Okay, Ron, you can just, yeah.
Matthew 5:16 is my verse today. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
I was thinking about that verse today, and
I thought through your Christian life, there's up and down in your life. And I thought about a picture of a flashlight. And I thought, you have so many different types of flashlights. You have flashlights that are run by C and D batteries. You have LED batteries or LED flashlights. You have halogen. And I thought, wonder what my life is like. Is it like it's operated by a battery? Or is it by LED lights? Or has there ever been a time in my life as a Christian that have I shined for Christ like a halogen light? But you know, there have been times in my life that I needed my battery changed because it just went out. But you know, thank God that He gives us this word here. That we can go to Him, we get the battery going, and we, by our choice, we can go right on up as long as we are dependent on Him.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. Okay, just raise your hand if you'd like to be next. We'll get the mic to you right back down front here, Nick. John.
Okay, I think Jonathan's going to put a few pictures up here. You know, our lives were intertwined with Ireland for many years, and so this is another island in the Atlantic Ocean. This is Ireland. I just wanted to. We got an email this week from a dear friend named Seamus in Ireland. Seamus means James, and I wanted to talk about James tonight. But first I'll read a few verses from John chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Skipping down to verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. In the southwest corner of Ireland, the largest county in Ireland, the most rugged, barren county, it's County Cork that you saw a few pictures of. It's hard to make a living there. A lot of people are poor. And in one area, it's always been the area where the rebels against the English for 800 years, they were ruled by the English. And the rebels were there in County Cork. There was a famous one rebel named O'Donovan. And the famous thing that happened was the English were chasing him, and they thought they had him caught. And he came to a ravine where there was a stream down below. Of course, this is before the days of cars. And he and his horse leapt, however you want to say it, over this ravine and escaped from the English. And ever since then, this area is called Leim y Donovan, or Leap of Donovan. Donovan clan owned that area. And in that village of Leap, or they pronounce it Lep, there was about 40 years ago born a young a baby boy to a large family who was the only boy, still is the only boy in that family. And his name was Seamus Donovan, O'Donovan. And Seamus was typical of the young men of that area. He spent his time drinking and some of the things that we just heard about. And he was destined, it was seen by the ways of the world, to spend his time in the pubs and in drunken stupor. But he came to the city of Cork, which is about an hour away, and he started working there in woodworking, and he would spend all his money on alcohol. One night, as was true of just about every night, the assembly there is a fairly large assembly, not as big as this assembly, but it's in the middle of Cork. And the brothers there preach in the open air. They go out on the streets and they preach. And this one night, Seamus was stumbling. As he told me, he was literally just stumbling along the sidewalks after the pubs had closed about 11 o'clock. And he stopped and heard this old man preaching. His name was Albert Glass. Albert Glass. Albert Green. Glass means green in Irish. And so Al Green, we would call him. We knew Albert. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He was preaching his heart out on the streets of Cork in the cold, damp Saturday evening with the drunks cursing at him. And Seamus, somehow, he leaned up against the lamppost and the word of life penetrated into that drunken, worthless human being. And he heard the gospel. And he listened for a long time. He ran back to his flat, which would be an upstairs dingy room above some shop. Fell to his knees, and he did business with God. He was born again that night. The funny thing is that he said he was on his knees for about a half an hour or 45 minutes, got back up, ran totally sober, back down the stairs, and found Albert still preaching the gospel. And that began an amazing relationship. You can do the next one, I think, Jonathan. Amazing relationship between this young man, Seamus O'Donovan, and Albert Glass, who discipled that young man. And Seamus is this is a painting of Seamus. He's one of the most fearless street preachers in all of Ireland and England, Scotland, Wales. He will preach anywhere in any sort of place. How am I doing?
I'm not timing you.
Anyway, when we left, he worked for us. He sprayed all of our furniture. You know, we had a furniture business there. But the one thing that, and so Seamus was an amazing testimony. But the amazing thing about, the sad thing about Seamus was that he had the loneliness of a lot of prophets. He never found a young lady. It was hard to find a young Christian lady in Ireland. So when we left Ireland 15 years ago, Seamus helped us load our things up. And that was the last we saw of him, because we went back a few years later and he was gone. He disappeared. No one knew where he'd gone. Long story, I'll shorten it. And anyway, he came to America, and he wrote me this week to tell me that he and his wife Naomi had their eighth child. So they've been busy, because he was several years there before he even got married. So anyway, so never give up on a young drunken person. The gospel can go into their, penetrate even a drunken person's mind. Never give up on young people, and certainly in the case of Seamus, he always knew that the Lord had something in store for him, and he's now happily married with, as I said, his eighth child just born. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you, John. Okay, who's next? Okay, back in the back, David.
My wife and I got the opportunity to go up to camp on Thursday only. Got to hear Nate Bramson speak. And the Lord's been slowly working on my heart on some areas. And the message on Thursday, a lot of these thoughts are what Nate spoke on, but the Lord used them to touch my heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." The interesting application beyond just words was, Nate went on to explain, yes, God definitely wanted us to be careful of our words, to be wise in what we say, that every word would be constructive and for God's glory. And that in itself was convicting. But the overarching message that he was teaching was that it was a thing of control. The tongue is the most powerful weapon in our body, essentially. It can be used for good or for evil. And do we choose to give control of not only our tongue, but our whole body over to the Lord for his use? there's many times in my own life in wanting to serve the Lord that I tried. I gave effort. I would fail, and then I would try harder. One thing the Lord showed me, though, from hearing this message was it's not about effort. It's not about what I do. It's about who I give control to. And when I give that control over to the Lord, He's able to make the change in me that I was not able to make myself. I'm going to close with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, David. All right, right down here, Garrick, down in the Dick's Row.
So, for those who don't know me, my name's Garrick, from the Bahamas. And I just want to share a verse, 1 John 1 and 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and continue in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, I made a profession when I was a young boy. I was 11 years old, professed to be a Christian. And I never made a commitment to the Lord. Didn't care about God, didn't think about God. Went on doing what I wanted to do. Started smoking cigarettes, smoking dope, drinking, partying, you know, and I hung around the people for years I was doing it. Never did it. Told myself, you know, it ain't no big deal, I ain't got to do that. I never felt pressure from my friends. They never tried to get me to do it. But when you're in that atmosphere all the time, it will rub off. And Nate Brempson was home last summer. My brother got saved. I went to one of the services because my mommy wouldn't leave me alone. She kept begging me to go, so I went to one service so she'd leave me alone. And seeing that change my brother made convicted me. It made me think about the profession that I had made. And I started reading my Bible, started going to church here and there. While I was out to sea in August working, my brother said something to me one day. He heard a song on the radio, and how it started was the biggest cause of atheism today is people who claim to be Christians. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was at a party that June. There was a guy hung around for probably the last 6-7 years. I heard him tell somebody he was atheist. And all I could think was, maybe I'm the reason he thinks like that. You know, and to this day, from what I could tell, he still thinks like that. And I laid in my bed that night and I cried for hours thinking about that. And that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. My girlfriend left me. Friends left me. But the Lord is good and He's blessed me with much more. Just in the last 2 weeks alone, more than I could ever ask for.
Amen. Thank you, Garrick. Garrick headed out of Spanish Wales. He said, I will definitely not give my testimony in public anywhere. That's the third time I've heard him do it since. So. Vincent told him, if you'll do your testimony in front of a group, I'll do any of the high ropes at Mountaintop. And Vincent found himself up in some trees and on the side of a mountain. So, praise the Lord. All right, who's next? Jason?
I just want to share one quick little thought with you guys. This last week, I had the privilege of going to the Mountaintop and being a counselor for the first time ever. And it was amazing. It was just incredible. And I knew that that's where the Lord wanted me to be. But at the same time, I had to leave Jennifer. She had to stay home. There's things that she had to do. It just didn't work out that she could come with me. But I want to share a verse real quick in John 17. Verse 24, it's one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible. It's where Jesus is praying in the upper room, and we get a beautiful insight into our Lord's heart here. In one verse, 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me, that's us, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. And this week, a lot of the theme was our focus on Christ, and that our vision always be Him and our desire to be with Him. And as I was going through the week, I kept coming back to my wife and how much I enjoyed where I was, and I knew that's where the Lord wanted me to be, but I missed her. I could talk to her, we talked on the phone, but my thoughts were with her, and I couldn't wait to see her. And I got to think, the Lord just gave me a thought that's where our Savior's heart is. He hasn't just left us here and I'll come back when I get you. His heart desires for us to be with Him. He cannot wait to come get us. And if that doesn't motivate you to stay focused and keep your eyes on Him, He's wonderful and He's perfect. And I just want to tell Him I love Him tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Jason. Got a few more minutes. Great opportunity to share what the Lord's showing you in the Scriptures. Yes, Dave. Down front, Nick. Down this way, Nick.
I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and then relate this to. I'm still fighting this allergy thing. Relate this to a conversation I had this week with a Jehovah's Witness, and I hope this will all come together. And this is the story of the demon-possessed man in the land of the Gadarenes, where the Lord Jesus cast out multiple demons out of the one man. And they went into the pigs who ran down a cliff and were drowned. And in verse 38, we read the summary of the story. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Now, I want to bring this around to a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness this week, because the simplicity of this verse, has really gotten my attention. The Lord Jesus didn't tell him to argue with anybody or to share what he knew other than what Christ had done for him. And just, again, what the Lord Jesus told him to do was so simple. And quite frankly, I and maybe some of you for many years have been frustrated when Jehovah's Witnesses would knock on our door. And there have been times when I've been simply said, look, I'm too busy with our business and other things we have going on right now. I can't talk with you now. And I haven't felt good about that, because recognizing that the Lord is sovereign and that nothing happens in our lives by accident, if the Lord brings them to the door, I sense that I have a responsibility to speak with them. But I have tried to argue and share scripture with them, and they've come back with their scriptures. And I've known of numerous other people who've had the same experiences that I have. And it's just been, you know, when everything's been done, I've been frustrated. I know of many other people who have been frustrated as well. But anyway, taking the concept we have in this verse, Patty and I were working in our office, and I saw this car coming down the driveway, and I commented to Patty. I said, I think the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to ring the doorbell here. And sure enough, it was about 45 seconds later, and they did. And I went downstairs, and there was were a couple of nicely dressed gentlemen, as they always are. One of those was clearly the leader, as is almost always the case, and you get the sense that the next person who's with them is really one who's in the process of learning. And they started out, and they had their literature there, and I said, you know, let me stop you for a minute. I said, I'm a born-again Christian. I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. And I said, my sins have been forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. Whether I die today, tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, it really doesn't matter because I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross. And I said, you simply don't have anything to offer that compares with that. And he stood there for a moment and kind of shook his head, and he looked down at some of his literature, and he said, well, we have good news too. I looked at him and I said, you don't have anything that compares with what I just shared with you. Nothing. I said, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he being God, paid for my sins in full. And there's nothing that's going to change that. And, you know, he just kind of stood there and said, well, you know, we've been going around knocking on doors and trying to share. I said, you have nothing to share. Nothing to share. And, you know, he smiled at me. We shook hands, and he departed. And, you know, I just went before the Lord and prayed that the Lord would open his heart and open the heart of the other person who was there with him. But I just share that as an approach which I learned from someone else, which I think the Lord can use to reach Jehovah's Witnesses and probably a whole lot of other people as well, when we simply as do what the Lord Jesus told the formerly demon-possessed man in Gadara there, go home and tell them what Jesus has done for you. So I trust that'll help you folks.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Got time for a one-minute sharing. Okay, Tim. That's all right. Go ahead. I always stop early so you can take some of the time I don't usually use.
This morning, when our brother Polis was talking about the word led, he talked about how the Lord Jesus was led by those who held him captive and nailed to a tree, and that in the end, he led those out, his disciples out, after his resurrection. And as I was thinking of that word led, that verse over in Ephesians chapter 4 kept coming back to me. It's Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. The grace has been given to us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ led captivity captive, and he does fill all things. And when I was looking at that verse, that's not the first time the words led captivity captive show up. They also show up over in Psalms chapter 68. And there are just a few verses there that I'll read. Psalm 68 verse 3, It said, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rideth upon the heavens by his name, which is the Lord. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those who are bound with chains. Verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed is be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He who is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. This one who led captivity captive, he's the one who brings out those who are bound with chains. And we've heard a couple of good testimonies tonight about those who were bound with chains. But the Lord Jesus himself led captivity out. And he has broken those chains. And he has delivered us from sin. And then it said, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. What a wonderful thing that the Lord, who led captivity captive, gives gifts even to the rebellious like us, that he might dwell among us. What a wonderful God we have.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. What a blessed time tonight. We'll close in prayer and then continue our fellowship. Thank you for being here. Trust that these things that we've considered together, been shared with us, will go with us as we head into the rest of our week. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for each of these testimonies, each of these scriptures that have been shared with us. Father, those reminders fresh of how you work to transform lives, how you faithfully work with us, how you graciously pursue us. Father, how you continue to teach us and to remind us of the things in your word, the things that we need, Father, for walking in the Spirit, day by day, moment by moment. Lord, we pray that our lives will shine brightly for you, that they will reflect the Lord Jesus, and they will reflect our desire to be with him, to see him. Father, thank you for freeing us from our bondage, making us new creations in Christ. Father, just help us as we seek to go out and share you with others and tell others what great things you have done for us. Lord, I just pray your hand upon each one here. If there's anyone here tonight that has never received the Lord Jesus, Father, may the truths that have been shared, the testimonies that have been presented, Lord, may their hearts be spoken to. May your word pierce deep within them. Father, might they hear, for the wages of sin is death. Come to them. Father, we commend ourselves to you. We pray that we would walk in the light as you are in the light. And we commend ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you.